For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show. It's a good day to talk baseball. We are back for a second episode of the day as we now will break down the Detroit Tigers farm system as we look to go ahead and get through these farm systems. We have several more to go, and we have just a couple of days till MLB regular season before our daily show will be talking about all of the action from the previous day. So today we get to break down the Tigers farm system, which actually has gotten a lot better over time. There are some really talented prospects despite them graduating a lot of their top guys. And let's start at the top. Colt Keith is the top prospect in the system. The Tigers gave Keith a nice extension before he even debuted in a game, or at least to the major league side, debuted on the minor league side. But, you know, Keith certainly deserving of the contract too. They lock him up long term. It's a deal that has escalators and options for 2030 through 2032. He can make up to $82 million over 9 years. So really good investment for the Tigers. Keith gets his deal. He gets his starting spot. He's going to be the second baseman for the Detroit Tigers, which is a lot of fun. And in a fantasy league, you will have him at second and third eligible, which is huge. Colt Keith was a talented two-way guy as a prep player. Showed very solid skills on the mound, but also at the plate. Ultimately, the Tigers draft him fifth round in 2020. They make him a hitter. He moved to shortstop, where he looked fine, and then ultimately a split time between second and third throughout his minor league career. Between AA and AAA last year, Keith hit 27 home runs while slashing 306, 380, 552. He has a very strong lower half. He generates easy power, had a ninth percentile exit velocity of 106 miles an hour, and an average EV near 90. Lifts the ball easily, very high barrel rate type hitter, 68 extra base hits last season, very impressive. Contact skills with Keith are good, 75% overall, 84% in zone, so you like to see those numbers too. And I think that people talk about a potential platoon risk as a lefty, but no, that's not the case with Keith, who actually mashes both types of hit pitchers, 939 OPS against righties and 909 against lefties. He actually had a lower strikeout rate against lefties than righties. Keith is a hard worker. He certainly is going to give it everything he's got. He's got something to prove now that he's got this contract in Detroit, and he is going to be someone that I think you should certainly be in on, as Keith has the potential to hit 25 home runs regularly. He can steal you some bases. I think there's a solid feel to hit as well. So I am pretty in on Colt Keith. I think you should be as well. And obviously the next guy, Jackson Jobe, is someone you should be in on too. Jobe is just stellar. Jobe is one of the best pitching prospects in baseball, if not the best. I think him and Skeens go toe-to-toe with me for best pitching prospect in the game. he's been impressive since they drafted him. And this isn't what's even more of an impressive feat for Job is that he was a shortstop that did not pitch much as a prep player that was converted to be a pitcher due to his big arm. He's a high spin rate guy. He's got natural talent on the mound. It's a very high spinning slider. It's a incredible fastball that was now touching triple digits this spring. Everybody kind of went crazy when he was touching triple digits in his inning of work in spring training. But again, Job was already sitting mid to upper 90s. He consistently set 96 last year. So in all honesty, not shocking to see him hit 100 on a smaller sample. But if he sits 97 consistently, then yeah, that's going to be awesome. The fastball gets a lot of ride, 18 inches on average last year. Slider, arguably his best pitch, sitting in the mid-80s. He spins it so well, like 3,200 RPM regularly. Ton of sweeping action, like 12 to 17 inches regularly. Misses a ton of bats. Job also added a cutter last year, in which really helped bridge the gap from the slider to the fastball. Sits 90, 93 range, which is pretty hard cutter. Short horizontal break with good ride. You know, the progression really in 2023 was all about his changeup and his control. The changeup made strides. It now looks like a potential plus pitch to pair with the fastball and slider, also plus, and the command. Job walked six of the 258 batters that he faced last year. That is a 2.3% walk rate. He threw plenty of strikes too, posting an impressive strike rate north of 69%. One of the best marks in the minors for strike rate, so it's no shock to see Job's walk rate be so low. I am very interested in what Job can do this year, especially at the major league level. Do I think we see Job really quickly? Probably not. I think that for Jackson Job, I don't think they push him. There's been some injuries in the past. I think that we see Job probably later in the year, down the stretch. So I'm interested to see how they push him, but I don't think they're going to be overly aggressive with Job to the majors this year. That does not mean that the arsenal is not good. It does not mean that he's not a super talented arm and he's not ready. But they're more concerned about his long-term health. So Jackson Job is a stud. As is Max Clark, who was drafted in the first round last year. Tigers famously passed up Wyatt Langford to take Max Clark there in that slot. But that's not to say anything negative about Max Clark at all. He's a great player. But at the end of the day, Wyatt Langford's just been an absolute stud. And long term, I think you know Max Clark's going to be a really good player. He's younger. He was a prep guy. I interviewed him back when he was 16 years old. He was very polished. He was very smart, had a very high baseball IQ already, which very impressive for a 16-year-old. But when you look at Clark, yeah, he's a little smaller than his list. I don't think he's 6'1", but maybe I'm wrong there. When you talk about a potential five-tool player, yeah, I think Clark does come to mind with just light power. Yeah, he makes contact at a high rate. He's a 70 runner. He's really good in the field, and he's flashed some power. At the end of the day, I wouldn't be shocked to see Clark tap into more power. If he grows, he feels out a little more. But the swing is a line drive oriented swing. He sprays the ball to all fields well. I think that he's going to put up good batting averages consistently. Controls the barrel through the zone for a long time. So it's a very advanced hit tool for his age. I think that Clark, while he was a surprise pick at three, I think he's a great fit in Detroit. And I have no knocks on this pick at all. Max Clark is going to be a really solid player, probably a couple years away, though. But this guy, however, looks like the leadoff guy for the Tigers this year, and that's Parker Meadows, center fielder for the Detroit Tigers, who has flown under the radar for far too long. I moved him up significantly in my rankings because I was wrong, and all offseason I've just bumped him up more and more. I currently have Parker Meadows as a top 40 prospect. I know he's a major league guy now. I think he's a top 175 dynasty asset. That's where he's going to be for me. He's not the flashiest player, but shows really good skills across the board. Meadows has had two straight 20 home run seasons with 17 and 27 stolen bases, respectively. Meadows has really good contact skills, had an 87% end zone contact rate last year with a 77% overall clip. Chase rate of 29%, better than league average. And a good feel to hit, good OBP skills. It is a big 6'5" frame. Generates easy power. Had a 105 mile an hour ninth percentile exit velocity last year. He showed that higher end exit velocities could lead to good game power as well with two straight 20 home run seasons. He's a center fielder with a big arm, should be an everyday player. He hits lefties equally as good, so everybody can kind of put the platoon concerns to rest. They may platoon him a little bit, but he's actually really good against left-handed pitching. So numbers kind of back that up. I think that Parker Meadows is somebody that you should be or have on your radar for sure, who I am very excited about. Much like this guy, Ty Madden. Madden is a very solid prospect on the mound. He gets a little bit overshadowed because he has Jackson Jobe in his system. But Madden's been good since his college days, back when he was at Texas. Really good stuff in the profile when you look at Ty Madden. The results, well, they follow too. And I think that people are still sleeping on who Ty Madden could be. When I look at the profile, you know, you see someone who had a collegiate career ERA of 2.59 with 200 strikeouts, carried over to professional ball. Last year in AA, pitched 118 innings with a 3.43 ERA, 146 strikeouts to 50 walks. Fastball continually improved throughout his career, sits in the mid to upper 90s, touching 99. He locates it very well up in the zone, shows nice ride, the ability to get hitters to swing below it. Slider plays well. He's got a good feel for both throwing in the zone for strikes, but also to get chase out of the zone. Changeup is more inconsistent, but it flashes being a solid third offering. And Madden will also mix in a cutter and a curve on occasion, but the fastball slider combo is really good here. Throws a lot of strikes, lives in the zone at a good rate. He produced a solid 16% swinging strike rate. He's probably beginning the year in AAA this year with a chance to potentially be in that major league rotation pretty quickly. Someone who is not going to be in the major league team very quickly is Kevin McGonigal, drafty last summer, but one of the best pure hitters in the draft class. He's a little bit smaller, but 37th overall pick, really good feel to hit, quick hands and a smooth swing through the zone. So when you look at this profile, it's certainly a hit tool first type. And at the end of the day, when I look at McGonigal, I don't know how much power he gets to, but I think there's a chance that he's probably a 10 to 15 home run type bat. There's good gap to gap power at the moment. And the hit tool ultimately is the carrying tool. There's some sneaky speed with the profile too. So maybe McGonigal is someone that can be a 15 home run, 15 stolen base type bat. Yeah, maybe there's room for more. But right now, that's kind of how I project it to be. You know, we could see McGonigal tap into more power, but right now, know that it's a hit tool first type. The power, still a question mark. The speed is decent. We will see how that develops. But I do like McGonigal a lot. I think McGonigal is probably a bit underrated overall, but still somebody that's a pretty good buy right now. So I look to buy into McGonigal if you could. Jace Young, another one in this profile that, you know, I think a lot of people have mixed reviews on. Ultimately, Young made the move from second to third base in the fall league last year. So it's interesting because I felt like Young was more of a second baseman. And at the end of the day, the profile probably played a little bit better with the bat. Like, it was one that could really stand out. But at third base, Young certainly has the power to play. I'm curious to see how the contact skills play out with Jace Young. Obviously, this is Josh's brother, if you weren't sure by the name. He hit 28 home runs last year, had a really solid exit velocities and good launch angles. The contact skills, though, 78% in zone last year, which, you know, it's not great. That's a little bit of a concern for me. But it's a kind of funky operation, funky mechanics pre-swing, which, you know, he's made it work. I think that he can continue to make it work, but yeah, I'm not the most confident in this swing and profile. I'm a little lower on than most, but you know, I mean, he obviously had those two big homers during spring breakout. A lot of fun there. I don't know. Maybe Young bounces back. Not that he has to bounce back from anything, but maybe he moves up in my eyes, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Solid player. I think he's probably a top 125 prospect, but I've seen top 50 and I'm hesitant to go there with him, to be honest. Justin Henry Molloy is probably one of the more boring type profiles in the system, but that's not to say it's not a good profile at that. Molloy is a high on base type guy that walks a lot. He's passive. He doesn't chase out of the zone. 16% chase rate last year, 37% swing rate, very low. The contact skills are interesting. They actually took a little bit of a hit last year in AAA. 72% overall, 79% in zone. It's fine, but it's not really good. The power is average, like you saw, a 89 mile an hour average EV and a 102.5 mile an hour ninth percentile. Those are like MLB average, but he does allow it to play up a little bit more because he hits the ball at ideal angles pretty often. Molloy gets on base at a high clip, 438 OBP in 2022. Or in 2023, excuse me, and 408 in 2022. So two straight seasons over the 400 mark. Not surprising given the low chase rates. He's a corner outfielder long term. He was a third baseman coming up. The Braves began to move him off before they traded him for Joe Jimenez. So Molloy is someone that certainly should make an impact in this lineup, but I'm honestly afraid that he could be kind of dwelling in AAA just because there's not a great spot. He doesn't really fit in this system anywhere. But Molloy, a solid prospect. Let's move back to the pitching well with a pretty intriguing arm who I think is pretty undervalued, but is probably coming around more on, or people are coming around more on general, is Troy Melton, who had a good showing in spring breakout. Melton, man, he's been on my radar for a while thanks to Jeff Ponce. I think that Melton has really good stuff. He was an unheralded type prospect coming out of San Diego State. Fourth rounder in 2022. Pitched five innings, but then really broke out last season and never got the fanfare for it. Melton spent his time between high A and single A last year, so obviously want to see him against better competition, but pitched 92 innings, had a 2.74 ERA with 94 strikeouts. Fastball sits mid-90s, touching 97, 16 inches of induced vertical with some horizontal movement as well. He locates it well up in the zone, throws it for strikes at a high clip. He'll throw a two-seamer as well in the low 90s and a cutter in the upper 80s, so three fastball variations with Troy Melton. His slider sits in the lower 80s. Good sweeping action. Curveball generates more sweep than the sweeper and has some depth as well, sitting in the upper 70s. And he throws a changeup with fade. Heavy strike thrower, 67% strike rate last year, plus control. It showed in the walk rates as he, you know, walked just 6% of batters he faced last year. And in 10 of the starts last year, he did not allow a walk. And in 17 of the 23, he walked one or less. Pretty impressive stats there. Keider Montero jumped three levels in 2023. Reached AAA for his final eight starts. He had 27 starts between all levels, posting a 4.66 ERA with 160 strikeouts in 127 innings. I would not let the ERA fool you. He is much better than that suggests. Six-pitch mix, kind of like Melton. Mid-90s four-seam fastball, 16 inches of induced vert with some fade. He locates it well up in the zone, misses bats. He also mixes a sinker that tunnels the four-seam, has late fading action to it. Montero's slider has legit sweeping action, like 16-plus inches regularly, but it has averaged 10 inches or more while sitting in the mid-80s. Curveball generates 60 inches of vertical drop, which is a ton, with 13 inches of sweeping action as well, sitting near 80 miles an hour. Yeah, the changeup, good fade, plenty of strikes. I think Montero can be a starter. I think there's been those questions, but to me, Keiter Montero does look like a starting pitcher. Max Anderson, pretty underrated draftee last year. He had an incredible year at Nebraska. Second round selection, slashed 414, 461, 771 with 21 homers, 20 doubles, and high end contact. His overall contact rate in Nebraska was 81%, in the end zone at 90%. Rather impressive. Drives the ball to all fields. The exit velocity's pretty high, really good hard hit rate, and he had a solid pro debut as well. I think that, you know, at worst, probably looking at above average field to hit with above average power. You know, I think the bat's obviously the carrying tool. Not the best in the field, but he can kind of move around the board and play several spots. So Max Anderson, certainly someone to watch out for in this system. Justice Bigby, who had a really good year last year. I came into the Arizona Fall League hoping to see a lot more out of him. Like, this was a guy with his age that should have honestly dominated the AFL. He did not do that, in my opinion. You know, ultimately, I dropped Bigby a lot after seeing him. He's a little bit thinner than I thought, a little bit smaller. His back foot slides out drastically on his swing. It's just some mechanical things that I don't love. And I think that, to me, is a little bit concerning with Bigby, despite the numbers. Contact numbers were fine. He's hyper-aggressive. Contact rates did regress as he moved up levels. Yeah, overall, I think that the live looks at him were not as good as the performance numbers may say. I'm selling Bigby in a dynasty league, so that's kind of where I'm at on him. Wilmer Flores, he might be a reliever long term, but he has pretty good stuff. He had mixed bag of results early in the year, had an injury. Ultimately, I really do like what Wilmer Flores brings to the table. 2.67 ERA across 67 innings last year with 65 strikeouts. Fastball, low to mid-90s. Not really any outlier traits. Slider, mid-80s pitch, good sweeping action. Curveball, really good vertical drop with some horizontal movement as well. Changeup has nice fade, say in the mid-80s. He'll throw a cutter on occasion, and he throws strikes at an average rate. I do think the stuff does play up better in a smaller stint. So I think he could be a bullpen guy and a very successful bullpen arm. But if he does stay in the rotation, I still like Wilmer Flores and what he brings to the table. Edys Leonard, he came over from the Dodgers for cash at the deadline last year. Massive, massively underrated. Edys Leonard has just raked pretty much at every level. He was assigned to AAA, and he was really, really good. 302, 342, 447 with 8 home runs and 171 plate appearances. Had a 90-mile-an-hour average EV and a 106 ninth percentile. Those numbers were way up. Contact skills looked legit, too. He's been aggressive in the past, but 86% zone contact. It did come with a higher 34% chase rate. But if you're counteracting with 86% zone contact, you can play. Obviously, we want to see a bigger sample than his 171 plate appearances, but Edys Leonard might just move up. This was an intriguing profile that I really like. So keep an eye on Edys, fun type player. Josue Brasino is probably on the verge of a very massive breakout, and he kind of already did so. 2023, he spent the season at the Complex and Single A. He slashed 319, 402, 529. Had 7 home runs and 28 extra base hits in 55 games. He was one of the top players in the 2022 international class, and he's already showing big power and a good feel for contact. We saw in the spring breakout game where he put on a really good showing. I think he hit a ball 112 miles an hour, which was impressive. I look at this profile. He's a big 6'4" frame, listed at 200 pounds. He actually moves rather well. And when I think about what the potential is here, I think that this is a potential top 100 prospect in Josue Brasino. And I think it's something that, or somebody to invest in much sooner than later. I think that when you ultimately look at this profile, when we look back a year from now, I think he's going to be talked about as a top 100 guy, a really big power type impact bat, where I love Josue Brasino. So I would invest in him pretty much everywhere I can, because I don't think he's going to cost you much of anything at all. And there's a potential really good return on investment here with Brasino. He is moving up significantly in my prospect rankings just from, I underrated him a little bit, and I like the profile. So I am way in on him. Dylan Dingler's another catcher in the system that, you know, he's pretty intriguing. And I think that there's been a lot of fatigue with him because there was some hype at one point with Dingler, and then it all kind of faded off. He's kind of struggled with contact at times. Yeah, I think that you look at the contact skills, around 70% for the last couple of years, kind of meh. Hits the ball hard, though. Had a 91-mile-an-hour average EV last year. In AAA, he did post an 87.5% zone contact rate, which is big improvement. And he's actually pretty solid behind the plate. I think people thought that Dingler was somebody that was definitely moving off. Last year, he threw out 33% of runners. I mean, that were trying to steal against him, including 50% of AAA runners. So pretty solid there. I like the outlook with Dylan Dingler. Talk a little Paul Wilson. He was a third rounder last year out of Oregon. Prep lefty, 6'3", big physical frame on the mound. Sitting 93, touching 97 as a prep. 20 inches of IVB. Curve has good downward movement. Changeup shows fade, inconsistent at times, but again, gave him an overslot bonus of $1.7 million. So you know that they obviously like this profile if they're going to give him that kind of deal. So Paul Wilson is somebody that I'd keep an eye out for. Isak Pacheco, somebody I feel like we keep waiting on year over year. Like, is this guy ever going to put it together? The talent is there. There is certainly the skill set for his potential to be a really solid player. But we've yet to see that yet. He's not tapped into the power that we thought in his highly projectable frame. He has 24 career home runs over 1,076 plate appearances. There's still raw power. He's just 21 years old. The hit tool kind of remains a question mark as he posted a sub 70% contact rate and had a 31% strikeout rate last year. So, you know, Pacheco's interesting. Probably not somebody I'm looking to go invest in, but he could be somebody that has the upside and talent that could turn things around pretty quickly. Much like Christian Santana, who has also not really put all the tools together, but he is a guy that does have intriguing upside. And when you look at this profile, I think maybe there is potential for him. He's still just turned 20 after the season last year, so he'll be 20 all this year. Last year, he spent the year in single A, and the results were not good at all. I mean, you don't want to look at the results. He did hit 12 home runs, but it came with a 156 batting average and 116 strikeouts and 419 plate appearances. Not good, but Santana does have pretty intriguing stuff. So I'd watch out for him. Maybe there's a chance he bounces back. Brant Hurter. We'll close out the show with Brant Hurter, B-R-A-N-T-H-U-R-T-E-R, left-handed, 6'6" starter, big burly guy out of Georgia Tech. He was a seventh rounder in 2021. Herter's had a really good pro career so far, especially last season. Pitched in Double A last year and got really good results across 118 innings. Had a 3.28 ERA. He had 133 strikeouts and just 33 walks. Herter has some intriguing skills. You know, he pitched the other day in spring training. It looked decent. Pretty sure he pitched in the spring breakout game too. He's thrown 11 innings at the major league level for spring training, which is good. You obviously like to see that. So Herter, probably somebody to watch out for in the system, who probably a little bit underrated and maybe a little bit underrated on my part. A couple other names before we get out of here. Just quick hits Wencel Pérez, second baseman. Carson Rucker, drafty last year, third baseman. Peyton Graham, shortstop, drafty out of 2022. Oklahoma, he's somebody to watch out. Dylan Smith, right-handed pitcher from Alabama. Luke Gold, infielder. Roberto Campos, an outfielder. And Jatnik Diaz, a right-handed pitcher. Those are some players that I am watching out for pretty closely. So I would keep an eye on those, and maybe they pop off. This has been it. This is another edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show, the Detroit Tigers farm system. Thank you for hanging out with us. We are so close to opening day, guys. Baseball is almost back, and minor league baseball will be back before we know it. I can't wait. Have a great day. Share kindness everywhere you go.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.